Hello, this is Carla Atherton, the director of the Healthy Family Formula and the HFF Practitioner Training Academy, host and producer of the Children's Health Summit, author of Family Health Revolution, host of the Family Health Revolution podcast. I'm an empowerment coach, a holistic family health freedom consultant, a yoga instructor and mind-body facilitator, and a children's health advocate. So all of that has been spurred on by the love of my three glorious and grown children, and of course my husband and my nieces, nephews, siblings, etc., etc., etc. So my mission is to support families to achieve their best health through information, guidance, and empowerment. So welcome. Welcome to this three-part series. It's an empowerment coaching series with yours truly, obviously, from struggle to harmony through the HFF Health Empowerment Method. So this is session one, and in this session, we're going to explore the question, what is dis-ease? And before we start talking about what I mean by dis-ease, and you'll notice that I don't use the word disease for a reason, and we'll talk about that. But first, I want to define what I mean by health. And so when I talk about health with clients and the general public or whoever I'm talking to, I talk about health in terms of it being our default. So our default, our body is brilliant, and we will always return to health if we get out of the way. So health being feeling relatively well, joyful, purposeful, good, you know, without symptoms, without painful or uncomfortable symptoms most of the time. And health is also when we have scrapes and bumps and, you know, accidents and symptoms, struggle, challenges, you know, feelings of dis-ease, we are able to return to that baseline, that balance, that state of good, vibrant health. And I'm not just talking about, you know, puttering along, you know, with a little bit of gas in the tank, but I mean a full-on, good, vibrant life. That should be that is the default of the human body if we get out of the way and give it the right support. Okay, so that's the definition of health that we're going to start off with. So what is disease? And I'll tell you one thing controversial right off the top. This might seem controversial to you, but I don't believe in disease. I don't want to label anything, you know, with a diagnosis that, you know, a set of circumstances or symptoms that you might be having or one of your family members might be having as a state of disease, which means that there is a pathology, there is a permanent, label you can put on the experience that you were having. I understand the desire to label and to identify, but if we do that, we can tend to look at the body in a way that is disempowered, that can give us some symptoms or lists of them, but not really the roadmap as far as to what to do to help move through those symptoms and to experience them in the way that they are, with the purpose that they have, which is either to tell us something is going on in the body that needs some kind of correction or rebalancing, that something has already occurred, or that we are in the healing state right now. So when I talk about those kinds of symptoms, we're talking about fatigue, we're talking about fever, we're talking about night sweats, we're talking about pain, inflammation. I used to teach that inflammation was the mother of all illness, and we still hear this in functional medicine circles. And what I don't think that way anymore. I actually don't think that inflammation is the mother of all illness. It actually accompanies the healing process, because what happens with a healing process, there are microbes at the site. There is tissue repair being done. And so if you've ever been to the site of a construction site, right? Or, you know, where there is construction being done, there's a lot going on. And in the body, there is a lot going on when it's in a healing state or when it's in need of healing. So there is inflammation at the site, and inflammation doesn't cause disease. It actually expresses in with pain, because there is pain with inflammation. There are a myriad of other symptoms that come with that repair phase that we experience as discomfort and dis-ease, right? It's not comfortable. All right, so that said, that is the new lens through which I would like to present the next few sessions, the next few health coaching sessions, that leads to more of an empowered view. And I don't mean just more of an empowered view, leads to the empowered view of what to look at or what the belief system is as far as health and disease go. And then with a new lens to look upon that, we can actually be empowered to do something about it, or to allow it to happen. Allow the body in its brilliance to keep returning us back to a state of ease and wellness most of the time. Okay, so here I wanted to talk about, in this first session, I want to unpack a little bit more about my evolution from conventional medicine through to where I'm at right now and what I want to be teaching today, what I want to explore and open up for you today. And so when I was teaching yesterday, actually, I used this word of evolution, and I think it's an apt word. Yet anytime I talk about evolution, I don't want people to feel like when they're at a different place in this continuum that they're any less or any dumber, or, you know, where they know nothing, or, you know, any of that stuff. I don't want any of those connotations. I was at a certain place and now I'm at this place, and I don't want to look back at myself and say, wow, you were an idiot. And I don't want anybody else who I'm talking to right now to feel that I in any way am saying that. So evolution is a beautiful word, but how about we apply it to each of our own individual experiences, and we can define what that means for ourselves? Because what do we believe for our own selves, a broader understanding? What is a more expanded understanding? And we can define those things for ourselves without judgment of each other, right? So starting there, so yesterday I was talking about some of this stuff with my group of trainees for the practitioner training program. And I was saying it's kind of like, as I moved through this, what I'll say an evolution, it was like I was cleaning the glass, right? And it became clearer and clearer and clearer to me what health actually meant, what dis-ease actually meant, and what the symptoms people that I have been working with or working through on my own or working through with my family or witnessing, that it just became the reason for those symptoms and the solutions to rebalancing our bodies and, again, returning to that default of health, just became clearer and clearer and clearer. And then I feel like as we keep going, it's almost like that glass, that lens, it's like when we say a lens, it's almost like a distortion, right? It's not always even the truth. So I feel like it's even in the direction of taking away the glass entirely so that every possibility can exist. So when I started out, I was probably like a lot of you folks listening right now. I was born into the conventional model, the medical model of health. And I understand this medical model of health to be something very different than I understood it to be when I was younger. Because when I was younger, it wasn't even necessarily taught as far as like sitting me down and saying, okay, Carla, when you have this, then you do this in the medical model. No, it wasn't like that. It was a belief system that was passed on by how we handled dis-ease, what we did, you know, in our media, in our families, what the practices were to actually I suppose, be reacting to whatever ailment or condition or quote-unquote diagnosis that were given from the trusted people at the time. So the people really at the head of our health wasn't us. It was the doctor that we went to see on checkups and times when we felt states of dis-ease and symptoms. So we looked for diagnosis, which was to us the answer to what, you know, what was not just happening, like as far as root causes, but literally what we were like, right? So we were experiencing this infection. We are diagnosed with this condition, and this is what you do for that, which always involved some form of medication, because the purpose of that in that model, which is a noble purpose, obviously, to alleviate people of symptoms, of making people feel better. So the pharmaceuticals would be, you know, prescribed so that we can could alleviate the symptoms. So headaches meant that we would take Tylenol or ibuprofen, or stomach aches meant something else. You know, like proliferation of bacteria would mean that we would take an antibiotic and then we would feel better after that. So et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Things like childbirth were seen as a medical emergency, right? Like what TV show have you ever seen or movie that you ever seen with childbirth that didn't involve a straight up panic? Yes, there is excitement, but panic, get to the hospital. Someone's going to, you know, there's going to be a problem if we don't get there in time. That's not really what we might see in a culture that is trusting of the body, of the innate wisdom of the elders in that community or the women who have gone before, if we're using childbirth as the example, in the woman herself, in the person themselves, wisdom and listening to their own bodies and the wisdom that's been passed down. We have foregone that and put our, like at least I did in my childhood, we put our the control over on our health into somebody else's hands, into the medicalized system's hands. So when we did that, we started to forget. We are not even actually know in the first place that that health was actually in our own hands, that those decisions are ours, and that there is a whole world of tools out there for correcting, balancing, returning to a state of ease naturally most of the time. That power, those modalities, those quote-unquote therapies, those practices and lifestyle fundamentals were at the very tips of our fingers at all times. Yet we weren't taught that. I didn't really even think about that. So moving from this, and also too, that conventional medicine is but one tool in the vast, endless toolbox or toolkit or what do you also call it? Play box, right? Of life, of everything available to us. It's but one tool to be brought out when there is, in fact, an emergency, when there is imminent dangers to the organism that might cause severe injury or death. I mean, I'm going to a medical doctor in an ER if I need my finger sewn back on. That's where I'm going. I'm not going to wait until the body heals itself. That's not going to happen in this, at least in the level of consciousness that I have right now. Okay, so props to conventional medicine. Also knowing that it has a time and place in a vast toolkit of possibility. So when we look at this model, it is reactionary because that's what it needs to be if it is indeed an emergency. It can be fear-based so that it's, I don't want this to happen, or I'm scared of these symptoms, or this is too painful, I need it to stop. I'm afraid of feeling like this forever. I don't, it's more like a negative fear-based model. It is on the disease model. So again, we're going to talk about what I mean by dis-ease as opposed to disease in just a little bit. It tends to be against nature. So again, when we talk about what dis-ease is, and I'll be unpacking what I mean by that, and I already hinted to the fact that dis-ease actually is the natural process of healing itself. If we think about it that way, to suppress those symptoms will be counterproductive, will not lead to permanent lasting change post-event or post traumatic or post, illness, or not illness, I would say post injury growth, right? It's more against nature. It's suppressive. It silences and dumbs down the body. So I move to naturopathy next. And that is where we understand the body to be more like it's a system that everything works together. It's more holistic. So this holism approach as well can be introduced here. It is using nutraceuticals or food to alleviate symptoms and to move toward disease resolution. Functional medicine also does that in the medical world, where it's more expanded in that, again, we see all of the parts as one piece of the whole organism as a system, right? Like no longer sheaving off the body into specialized parts, where the heart, the cardiologist deals with the heart, and the nephrologist deals with the kidney, and the neurologist deals with the brain. We know that all of these parts work together, including the mental, emotional body, community, support, stress reduction, and that connection between practitioner, provider, and their clients. And that relationship is very important. There's more choice. There is less hierarchical, look at the client-practitioner relationship. And more of the power goes into the hands of the client, or to you, the person themselves. Now, what I found too, so it was more responsive. It's preventative. But it still has the disease model, right? Where there is, where symptoms are, there's signs in this model, but they're not, they're also, it's not always recognized that they're not just signs, but also the healing process itself. And of course, in functional medicine and in naturopathy and holistic practices, we understand things like, fever being part of the healing process. Don't suppress the fever. It's actually the body doing its job of, the healing process. And we understand that the microbes, and that there are beneficial microbes, and that they are beneficial to our bodies. They live in and among us, millions and trillions of them. And they are responsible for repair, for, nutrient metabolism and digestion, and also creation. So we get B vitamins from specific microbes in the body. So they are essential for our very survival. So these models of health recognize that. Yet, in their understanding, at least for naturopathy and functional medicine, they can still be reactionary. They can still practice under the disease model, and with a pill for an ill, but it's more with a nutraceutical or a food that reverses the effects of a disease state, that are used, which are much better on the body, but can still create imbalance and miss some of the point entirely as well. So some microbes are still seen as potentially pathogenic. I'm going to challenge that model in just a moment. And it does see connection with mind, body, spirit, but too much intervention. It still sees symptoms as something currently wrong. Whereas I'm going to say that symptoms, again, can be part of the healing process. And some would argue that they always are. All right, so the body is perfect, but in these models, sometimes it makes mistakes, right? It'll say that the immune system is over-responding. Yes, the immune system is brilliant. It's supposed to be doing this. This is what it's supposed to do. But sometimes it's over-responding. It'll see that bacteria and fungi are important helpers, but like I said, can sometimes be pathogenic. And that we can catch illness through the passing on of germs and microbes. So enter this new idea. And I have been, I have spent a lot of time throughout this, what I'll call like a cleaning of the glass or the my own evolution through what I believe to be health and dis-ease. And what I teach now is a study of many other modalities that are more along the lines of a new medicine and much more in line with nature itself. So what that model talks about and exemplifies is that symptoms are the result of healing. The result of healing. Microbes are always good and never pathogenic. How about that? And so when we see microbial proliferation, it's like seeing firefighters at the scene of a crime. They're meant to be there. They're to help us. They're to clean up, to regenerate, to clear out the old. They are there to help with the repair process. Rather than it being seen as an overreaction, it is simply a reaction. And yes, it can overwhelm the organism. This is why we can see people pass away, where we can see people past the point of repair, because we are mortal beings. We don't live forever. But to see these microbes as part of the healing process at all times, if we see what I would have considered previously to be infection, but what I'm now calling proliferation of these bacteria and fungus, we see that, we know that something is being repaired, but we do sometimes need to intervene to slow that process down, not to dumb down, to stop it, to shut it up. But we want to slow it down so that we can handle the symptoms, so that the symptoms aren't so intense that we succumb or just create more stress on our systems than necessary. So it also questions, it brings back the science in this whole field. We need to bring back the science, the curiosity, because what we understand at this point is, we think, a great deal, but it's actually nothing compared to what we don't know. So keeping an open mind about that is really important. And know that we can be more empowered with the more that we know, but we don't necessarily have to know all the nuances to understand that nature, staying closest to nature as possible, living a natural life, less interference with our body processes, being aware and allowing for healing to take place is the first step toward true health empowerment. All right, so let's just go through just a couple of points in this shifting that we're doing from the conventional model through all of these different ideas and modalities, and then landing on something really truly new and all-encompassing. And that would be understanding that energy depletion is really what we want to avoid when we employ things that I'll be talking about in future sessions, like lifestyle habits or, good food, sleep, rest, play, joy, community, stress reduction, all of those things. So the lack of those things aren't really causes of a particular disease state. They're really just contributors to the energy that our bodies need, and our minds and our spirits. It's the proper energy that we need to allow for our default of health. So it's not causing, it's really contributing factors to the depletion of energy. Now, I have a list of usual suspects that I also teach. And when I say that, the languaging actually makes us think that they are causes, or they are there out to get us, and, you know, are there the ones that we're like, trying to ferret out what's wrong and what's, you know, lurking. And so we ferret out these suspects. And now, you know, with this rethinking that I've been having as well, I'm still using that because it's a fun term, but when we look at those usual quote-unquote suspects, again, we're looking for contributing factors to the depletion of our energy, our life force. And symptoms, again, seeing symptoms as not only signs that there's something going on, but something healing that is taking place. And again, I already said that energy depleting contributing factors. So we want to know what those are. And that in functional medicine is called root cause resolution. And I still like that. So we can say, you know, what are the contributing factors that we can resolve or rebalance or reharmonize or reconnect that will allow the body to just be in its brilliance? Okay, so what causes and perpetuates disease? Well, there are many things. So like I said, energy depleting contributing factors. So those things that are the usual suspects, like, you know, like I said, poor food, sleep problems, not getting enough sleep, not enough rest or exercise, stressful events. And those are quite often the stress on the psychic level as well, on that psychological level or the events in life. And obviously things like injury, like physical injury as well. And so there are other things though too that perpetuate and actually create this whole cascade in our bodies that I'm going to be talking about in the next session. But I'm just going to touch on them right now. So things like triggers and programs and acts of body and mind care that are incongruent with actual, like, our feelings of ease and wellness. Like, what is it that I'm doing that I feel that isn't right for me, but I'm still doing it? It's incongruent with this goal. Our thoughts affect our health and creates states of dis-ease. Patterns of behavior. Feeling unsafe is actually the number one, which I will be talking about in session number two. And also the autonomic survival programs and reactions. So again, it all comes down to our body's desire to stay safe and alive. So we're going to talk about all of that in session two. So in my method, so I'm just going to introduce this method in the last minute here or so in this session. And I called it the HFF Health Empowerment Method. And so what that method involves is stop, identify, which is awareness, and take control. And sometimes this is just getting out of the way, releasing yourself from the outside control, or, you know, like regaining that power because we have relinquished our power. It is trusting ourselves and our bodies and essentially getting out of its way. So I hope you enjoyed this session. There are three questions that I'm going to leave you with. And the first one is, what do you think about this new health perspective? Second question is, how can you apply some of it to your current state of health? And my third question to you is, what do you want in your life and health?